Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of The Last Knock, your horror podcast. As Johnny Nell, my co-host, normally says, we've been your friends in horror since 2013. And tonight we have a very special guest. And I know I always say very special, but we only have very special guests on here. And tonight it's somebody we haven't had before. Let's see, an independent comic book artist and storyteller, and he's going to talk about his new comic coming up, as well as one that maybe you have missed that you should definitely get. And this is the great David Murdoch. How are you, sir?
Good, good. How are you?
Great. Thanks for coming on.
No problem.
It was wonderful. I know we connected on Twitter, which was great, and you sent me a copy of Lucas, your first independent comic, and it blew my mind in many ways, which we'll get about shortly. But you want to tell people a little bit about you and your comic and what you're doing?
Yeah. So I've been working independently, kind of on a freelance basis for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of doing the first book, Lucas. A lot of what I've done a couple of years ago, did a big body of work with Black Mask Studios.
Nice.
Doing pinups, some concept work, and so on with them. That led to me doing a bunch of work for 12 Reasons to Die, mm-hmm. which was the comic book adaptation from Ghostface Killah's album.
Right, right.
And then I ended up doing the album artwork for 36 Seasons after that.
Nice.
Outside of that, I've been working in game development with a small studio called Itzy Interactive. Mm-hmm. They got a title they're wrapping up on called Mad Devils. On that, I did a lot. character concepts, environment concepts, level design, yeah. music for it, interface, all that type of stuff.
Damn, that's a lot.
And yeah, it was a fun project.
Good.
But that one's wrapping up, so now I'm moving on to doing a follow-up for Lucas.
Excellent. Tell people what Lucas is about. I don't want to do it because I don't want to give anything away and have you punch me in the face whenever I see you.
Sure. So the first book, Lucas, is it's kind of an introduction to the character. It's a loose introduction.
Mm-hmm.
But the story is kind of a typical, you know, crazy family somewhere out in the farmland, you know, place you never tried. They've got some kids. they're torturing and eating and that fun stuff. And then Lucas shows up and basically kills everybody. He's kind of an anti-hero, a slasher, killer of killers, force of nature. Mm-hmm. Type character. So that whole story is just kind of an introduction to the character of Lucas. Everything gets blown apart, and hopefully the reader's left kind of thinking, you know, what the hell just happened?
Exactly.
That was my intention, but
it worked.
Yeah,
man.
That's the first book.
Well, it worked, and you know what what was interesting about it was. Someone already said this, and I'm just reiterating what they stated. A lot of your writing with the story, the prose, is very poetic. It's you have some great turns of phrase and a great use of language, which I really enjoyed as a writer. And your artwork really impressed me because it's impressionistic. It's not what one would expect with a horror comic book. Is that your normal artistic style, or is this something that you, like, hey, man, I want to do it different. I don't want another EC Comics or something. I want to do this.
It's typically how I work.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm doing something for someone else, I've got to rein it in a bit. It's usually that the way that I do things is usually what gets someone asking me to do something for them. But there's usually constraints, or, you know, if I'm working on a specific character,
right,
I've got to follow those rules. But when I did my own project, I could run away with it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Be a bit more exaggerated and kind of visceral with the way I approached it.
Oh, visceral indeed. I mean, stark colors, just the way just the way that you painted these incredible images, and there, I don't want to say abstract as in abstract in the normal sense, but it was great how it left so much. It created an atmosphere that allowed the reader to feel their own sense of fear and dread and terror and everything else, which was really great. I really loved that. That was awesome touch.
Yeah, it when you're watching a movie or reading a story or something like that, when there's opportunities there for your mind to kind of fill in the blanks, you can kind of lead people to let their imagination run with it. And I wanted to kind of keep it open that way with the book. I wanted a movie going on in the reader's head.
Gotcha. So, why Lucas? I mean, where did the idea come from, man? Where you're just saying one day, "Hey, man, I wish I could be this guy," or like, well, what was it, man? How'd it pop into your head? What's it? Well, I'm just fooling around, but like, what's your conjuring of story style?
There was a bit of that in there. I won't lie, but I at the time I started really putting it together. I was working at a job on a late shift, and I was by myself, and the TV was on all the time, usually Sci-Fi Channel or something like that. So, as much horror as I've watched, I was taking it in like at an incredible pace, and there, you just start watching enough of it. It's just kind of like, there's a lot of cliche about it and a lot of rehashing the
Oh,
same
yeah.
things over and over. So, I mean, and I love it. I'm not gonna like knock it that way. I still watch, the worst stuff you can find. But, I thought, okay, so how could you change this up? How could you introduce something that would flip it over and kind of turn it on its head? That's really, really what it came out of. As far as, there's a bit of nihilism in it, a bit of hatred when you start really trying to come up with it. I mean, you can see it, I guess, in real life, really, when you find some man's been arrested for some atrocious evil thing, your head might jump to a certain place. So I thought, oh, I can indulge that.
Oh yeah, and you did. And I love how you put the twist on the old trope. Yeah, because tropes are killing me lately. I haven't watched any decent horror movies in quite some time, and reading Lucas was refreshing. I really love the way you laid it out and all. It's a very different approach to comics and that I've seen, and I really enjoy that. To even a graphic novel. So what's in store for Lucas 2?
Okay, so for the next book, anybody that missed out on the first one is going to be okay because I'm incorporating the first one into Lucas 2. There's four new stories: The Road Trip, Doomsayer, Judicium, and Newborn. So the original story, Lucas, and then the first three, those. The way I'm going to do it, I'm not going to have the reader just read one story, next story, next story, and so on. So those four stories are going to be staggered. So that way the events of them are all kind of happening at the same time, not necessarily the same time in history in Lucas' world, but you're going to read a bit of this, then you're going to move on to the next one, and so on and so forth. So when they all wrap up, they're each going to have their outcomes, which is going to broaden the character of Lucas because they're all going to twist very differently, which will be a lot of fun. I'm really excited actually about it.
Good.
I have some good ideas. I know they're good ideas. Anyway, so once that concludes, then I'll do the last story, Newborn, which is like his origin, what happened to get him. How he is.
Gotcha. That's a cool anthology approach to it. So this is more of a graphic novel what you're doing next, because this isn't going to be just a few pages for each story, right?
Yeah, it the whole book will probably be at least 160 pages.
Holy shit.
So,
Dude, that's huge.
and not and it's not 160 pages in the conventional sense. I know that's one of those kind of up in the air things. So with the first book, a lot of Lucas will be, you know, a big splash image and text on one side, text on the other, maybe picture on one side, text on the other. The whole book was 80 something pages. So between what I'm adding, that's what I'm saying. It's going to be a minimum of 160. I got to count it
Minimum.
per page because, you know, when it gets printed, that's how I'm going to have to pay for the book. There's not a I don't get to have that debate with the printer.
Oh man, that's wild. That's a ton of work because you're doing all of it. I mean, you're doing the writing, you're doing the painting. Damn. What do you use to paint, actually?
It's digital.
That's what I
I
thought.
use so there's the three programs I use is Painter, ArtRage, and Photoshop Elements. And typically the way I work or to get the look I like, I've got to bounce between the three. I'll start in one program and then I'll open it in the next program and then take it to the other and back and forth.
Jeez, so how long do you think this little monstrosity will take you?
Okay, so the plan is if the campaign's successful, that'll wrap up October 31st. So I want to end it on Halloween. I think I just want to.
That's appropriate.
I'll give myself about 3 months to get the book finished,
Wow.
which should be end of January, about last week January, first week February. I should be finished with the book, and then from there, then you're waiting on, you know, getting it to print, getting the copies in, and so on. But yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the fundraiser. I know it hasn't, well, when this airs, when are you going to launch this? October 1st, you said? Right?
October 1st. Yep.
October 1st. All right, great. So this show will be up by then, which is good. So tell us about the fundraiser.
Sure. So I'm doing the campaign on Indiegogo. Against advice, I have a this way I want it to happen in my head. So there's actually something else going on with Lucas I'll get to in a minute, but so for the second book, I want this to be something that horror fans can get into. It's technically not the beginning because there's already a first book, but the kind of that sense of getting in on it, you know, at the beginning. So the goal, the fixed goal is 1,500 copies. That's what I want to get out there, but I'm also going to limit it to 2,500. So hopefully I hit the 1,500. As long as I hit that, you know, this is going to happen. If there's enough demand for it, though, it's going to be a limited thing. So if somebody doesn't get in on it, then that's it, because I'm never going to redo this book.
One print only.
Yeah, one run. I want to get it out there, and whoever's got it is fortunate enough to have it.
Awesome.
Which is important to me because this next set of stories is going to be the basis for development that's happening down the road. I'm trying to pack in a lot for the backer, so they'd be getting the book, which, like I said, it'd be at least 160 pages. I'm gonna do 10 trading cards with it, which if you've seen
Nice.
any of the promo images I've been posting that are kind of riffs on other horror icons,
Right.
there's gonna be 10 of those, and I'll get those printed as like trading cards. There'll be five individual art pieces everyone will get. I'm gonna do one of them. Let me think. The other artists here. One guy, I hate this. I can't really pronounce his name. Vasilis Gogzias, I think. He's from Greece. He does this really visceral traditional style art, you know, acrylics, oils, that type of thing. He'll be doing a piece. Rob Willis is going to be doing a piece. He's the artist on Shinobi Sasquatch, which is up on Indiegogo right now. So he's going to do a piece. Fabian Schlaga is going to do a piece for me. If you don't know who he is, if you're at all into like Sideshow Collectibles, the stuff that they do, if you've seen any of their like Court of the Dead series. Okay, so the artwork for that, Fabian's the one who's done a bunch of that. And then Nathan Thomas Milner is going to do a piece. You probably would recognize his work if you've seen the illustrated movie covers for stuff like Motel Hell, Halloween 2, Day of the Dead. Okay, so he's going to do one of the pieces also.
Damn.
So there'll be the book, the trading cards, five pieces of art, and then the last thing is backers will get access to a private beta for Lucas Chapter 1, which is a video game adaptation.
Damn.
Starting development based on the first book.
Damn.
So, wow. And that'll be $25 plus shipping.
Holy hell, man. I should just send you my money now. No, that's excellent. Man, that's going to be one hell of a campaign. I'm just trying to think, because you like blew my mind with some of these things. I just can't imagine taking on something, you know, this vast. I mean, you know, I'm a writer, which is fine, and you know, I've made a movie before, which is nuts. But you're like, you're doing like almost everything. How do you do it, man? Do you sleep at night at all, or what?
I get about four hours of sleep. I usually wake up at about 4 a.m., probably because of unchecked anxiety. I'm up for about half an hour. Then I get a couple other hours of sleep. And then, you know, that's it. It's just work. Mm. But, yeah. And the coolest thing about this, at least if I separate them, the video game is, that's a done deal. That's already going on regardless of the campaign. But
awesome.
I can at least connect them where I can bring backers in. To say, you know, well, it's going to be PC only for now. The prototype build is just focused on PC. Consoles would be down the road, but you know, then backers are going to get to be able to chime in on, you know, what they think's good about it, what they think sucks. Mm-hmm. What, you know, they get a voice in it. I think, which would be fun for horror fans.
Yeah, gosh, hell, that's awesome. That's very kind of you. Your artistic skills, how were they developed? Were you drawing like monsters as a kid or something? And then, you know, what was it? What was your, oh my gosh, I can't even think of the word. It's been a tough work day, man. Sucked my brain out of my head.
it's fine. I know what you're getting at.
All right, yeah, good. Thanks. Go ahead, man. Take it.
it's something you're born with. I've always been drawing. I think once I hit, gosh, would you go? You go from characters and comic books and that type stuff to where, you know, I hit my high school phase. Everything gets dark. Well, it got for me, got a lot darker.
Yeah.
You know, start getting a little more abstract with stuff, and I'm drawing on cardboard and pulling out of the garbage and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started getting more into wanting to mess around with music and that type of stuff. I don't know, at some point in my early 20s, it kind of died off. And then I ended up going to school for art, which my experience is probably the worst decision I've ever made. It was complete waste.
Oh.
Yeah. it was for, you know, I went for design, interactive design, but at the time that I went, I kind of took the pitch hook, line, and sinker. You know, oh, you're going to learn this and learn that, and you're going to have a job right out of college and this, that, and the other.
Oh, one of those.
And yeah. And it was through the schooling, I ended up having to make a decision if I was going to, you know, go this multimedia route or do web design.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in web design, they were using these cool new things. You know, new programs called Flash and stuff like that. And I remember thinking to myself, I was like, that's ridiculous. Like, this will never work on dial-up. And so I went the multimedia route, and I think everything I learned probably within a few years ceased to exist.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
I just kind of was like, I don't know, what am I going to do? And then, you know, this person asked me to draw him this thing, and that guy asked me to draw him this thing, and that's kind of always been there. And then eventually mm-hmm. you're just like, God, this is what I do. I don't know why I haven't, you know, gone after this harder. So it's been, you know, that's been the path for a long time now. It's a hard path for anybody out there who wants to get into it. You're gonna face a lot of rejection. You're gonna have a lot of things not work out, but you just gotta keep grinding.
Yeah. I think that's the way it is with almost everything now. Everything's just tough and bottlenecked, and I don't know. But the cool thing is, Lucas to me is a standout because it's so different from any horror comic I've ever seen in my life, which I really enjoyed. And I love the way it was laid out, the composition of it. It was really wonderful. You're quite a craftsman.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
So what are some of your favorite artists that you might look up to? And it's funny, but the cool thing about your stuff is I'm looking at it and I can't say, oh yeah, he's doing shit like so-and-so. It's completely different. You have a very unique voice. Some of it was like watercolors to me, which I thought was really cool. So who are some of your inspirations or whatever?
Yeah, the ones that have probably had the bigger impact on me, because I can still, you know, recall them, or I've still got their stuff, mm-hmm. Would be like Simon Beisley, mm-hmm. Ashley Wood, Ben Temple Smith, artists like that. Because when you're into comics and whatnot, you stumble across this thing that's like, oh my God, look at this. It's not anything like anything that I've seen before.
Right.
Those are the things that really, really spoke to me, because they're kind of saying like, yeah, you don't have to draw this way or do things this way, and you can still make it work. So mm-hmm. those have always been the biggest inspirations. That's Cycle of the Werewolf too. That Stephen King
book. Yeah. Gotcha.
That one had a big impact on me. I found it in junior high, mm-hmm. in the school library, and that, you know, at that point in my life, that time, you know, in the age that I was, that's when everybody tells you comic books are bad and you know, you shouldn't read them. grow up and pick up a real book, you know, type thing.
Yeah,
and it's disheartening. But sure. I stumbled upon a copy of Cycle the Werewolf in the school library, and I started thumbing through it, and I'm looking at the art, and I'm like, look, this guy tricked them. He tricked all the adults. Like, he got this book put into the school library, and it's got these werewolves ripping everybody apart. I'm like, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's awesome, man.
So that was a big one.
Oh, man. And because I knew you're planning this, and you know, you have the game, you know, Lucas 2, this mega book, holy crap, I still can't believe the size. And what do you have planned after that? I'm sure you sound like a person with a very active brain, so I know you're not like, oh, I have one idea. So.
after that, I'm going to have to see how things are playing out. Okay. The game development is going to be about a year.
Okay.
And wow. Then the entire campaign, it, you know, if that works out, that's going to end up finally wrapping in May, should be when backers start to receive everything. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, I have a couple other ideas for some stories. I don't know. I'm kind of struggling with them because they are a lot darker, I guess, than typically the type of stuff you might see. So I'll give you a bit on one idea that right. I have. You can tell me. Only you can even tell me if it's ridiculous.
All right, fair enough, man. Let's do it.
So I have this idea for a story or some, maybe, I don't know. Let's just say a story for now, called We Are Many. And it's from in the Bible. There's that demon Legion. You know, our name is Legion, for we are many. And I've always had this idea in my head where, you know, you've got this one demon who's, inhabiting whatever, and there's, but it's really all these different demons. So I thought to myself, I was like, what if you took that idea, but the demon existed spread out over, so many people, and something like that. And then I was thinking, I don't know, what would you do with that? And I started getting darker. So then I started thinking to myself, I thought, I was like, well, what if, I think people are kind of apathetic when it comes to the darkness of people. And this has to do with my own past to an extent. But as far as like we'll say like in the sense of perversion, right? Like if people are apathetic towards various forms of like sexual perversion, right? Like men gazing at 14-year-olds or that type of thing, or, and I'm trying to keep it light. Like my thoughts actually are a lot worse than that. But so it's a horror based around that idea that there's kind of like a hive mind demon who is acting through widespread apathy. That's
Wow,
my
feeding on apathy. Wow. No, but that's a great theme. That says so much about current social mores and everything else, man. So that's a heavy theme.
Yeah, that's one idea.
You sound like such a nice guy and you have all this demonic shit in your head. But that's how we are who love horror. I was just having a discussion with somebody today and they were really pissed off that I didn't tell them certain things about a particular horror film that apparently she has a great aversion to. And I'm like, one, I didn't remember. And number two, it's a horror movie. And this isn't a Hollywood horror movie, so it's not going to have a happy ending. It's not. It's just going to be doom and gloom, and the element of hopelessness is going to, permeate the whole landscape, and you're screwed. I mean, it's a horror movie. Like, what do you want? It's like, so, and I think what the way your brain's going and all, I think that's fine for the horror fan because so many, horror fanatics are, just disappointed as of late with horror. It's not going dark enough. It's not going deep enough. It's not visceral enough. And it's just like a lot of times I watch a horror movie and it's like I'm just kicking back like I'm watching any other movie, and it shouldn't be that way. So, it wasn't like that when I was reading Lucas either. I wasn't like kicking back. I was like, oh, this is intense shit, and I got into it. So, thank you for doing that, man.
I'm really flattered too. I really honestly am.
Thank you. Thank you for saying so. Well, we're at that point now in the show where I normally ask, in fact, I am going to ask it of you. I don't know how many interviews you've done, but this is my normal last question. People hate it. You're probably going to hate it too, but don't kill me off on one of your comics. My last question is this. You're in an interview and there's something you really want to say, but the interviewer never asked that particular question or brought up the topic, so you're pissed off. So now is your moment to say whatever it is that's like heavy on your heart, in your gut, whatever that you want to say. So you have free rein, man. So go for
Wow.
it.
Man, I have no clue. I seriously have no answer to that question.
That's right, man. You wouldn't be the first. You wouldn't be the first. No, it's a tough one, but
Yeah, I think outside of what we're talking about at this moment in time, the only other thing that I'm thinking is I really hope nobody hears me sipping on my coffee through the mic while we're doing this.
no, dude, this show, if your phone rings, it's okay because no, that's a. It's funny. I get a lot of stuff from fans. It's like, the show was great, and I really love that part where your phone rang, and it's like this is the shit you're focusing on. So,
Right.
So that's fine, man. Well, why don't you do this? Why don't you tell people where they could, find you on social media and all, and where they could find the Lucas 2 fundraiser? Let us know that stuff.
Yeah, the one best place to stay in touch or to see what's going on is going to be on Twitter. That's where I'm just the most active, at least sharing things, posting new stuff right there.
Right.
It's at David Murdoch Art, and it's Murdoch with an H. It's not MURDOCK. It's an H. We're completely different clans. So don't mistake that.
Exactly.
It's a Scottish thing. So we're the ones with an H. But yeah, David Murdoch Art. If you just follow me on there, you're gonna see all the most up-to-date stuff. Once the campaign launches, you're gonna know about it. I'll probably do something the day before. Maybe I'll post a little trailer I'll make just for Twitter or something like that. But yeah, that's where to go.
Awesome, that's excellent. Where could people get the first Lucas comic?
The first Lucas comic, I honestly, I don't know. I would try see if you can find it on Amazon or eBay. Just so you know, so when it was first published, Arcana Studio Press, they were who published it, and they had half the rights. There was a big period of time that because of that, I couldn't do anything with it. It's no longer the case, which is why I can move forward with the game and doing the second book and all this stuff. When they no longer had the rights, I had them ship me all the books that were left. There was only, I have seven.
Wow.
So
Damn.
as far as where the others are, I don't know. Try
Oh.
eBay or Amazon or one of those things. Or if you hear this show, we'll just say this. I'm gonna throw this out there because I'm nice like this. If you're listening to the show, if you follow me on Twitter, send me a message, let me know. I'll give you a free digital copy of the first book.
Whoa, that's awesome. Wow, that's a the Last Knock Horror Podcast exclusive then. That's cool as hell.
Yeah,
Very, man, very generous. Thank you. Awesome. All right, so the fundraiser's coming up for Lucas 2. Just amazing art. You're an incredible talent. I love your writing as well. You're a great storyteller. You have a twisted brain. I like that too. So that's good. And I think other horror fans would really welcome that. And ladies and gentlemen, you could find that the show on iTunes, of course, and also at CrashPalaceProductions.com. And don't forget to check out the fundraiser once it comes out. Go to David's Twitter page. And David, thank you so much for coming on today, man. It was awesome.
It was enjoyable. I
Okay.
think. Thank you for having me.
Oh, anytime. Come on again. Let me know. Right, have a good one.
You too.